Window World is proud to present Kevin Keatsman Has Issues. Simply the best for less at WindowsKansasCity.com.
Andy Reid has earned a whole bunch of free passes with the media in Kansas City. It's what winning does for a coach. Troubled players, questionable hires, nepotism, alcohol at work, losing games, even supporting Republican governors hasn't been enough to get the local media members to criticize the man. But now, Andy Reid has chosen to not comment about John Gruden's emails, and the reaction is swift and harsh. This is ridiculous, but Andy's finally committed the one sin the media will not allow. We'll compare how Andy Reid has handled this to this point, because I think he's going to change, to how Chargers coach Brandon Staley has handled it, and I'll make a prediction what happens next. The NFL, of course, is saying they didn't release any emails, and they don't plan to. But pressure's on from all corners now that Gruden won't be the only one hammered. They want more. They want more on the Washington football team and other people in the NFL. Hey, if the NFL were really being real, they could find hundreds of people with bad emails. Not necessarily racist or homophobic. There's all kinds of reasons people email things they get fired for or would be really embarrassing publicly. So what's really going on here? Kyrie Irving of the Nets speaks out on why he's not getting the jab. And get this, the New York City mandate is so silly. As a home team player in the NBA, he can't play in Brooklyn. But a visiting player without a shot can. Insanity. Joe Montana set for the biggest payday of his career. You have to hear this story. It's great. We're happy for Joe. CNN's top medical reporter is embarrassed after his appearance on Joe Rogan's podcast. The CEO of Southwest Airlines says he's not firing anyone. And a dad rocks a school board when he slaps the board at a meeting with a notice of a $200 million lawsuit. Oh, that's a good episode of KKHI, brought to you by Merriam Body Shop, just off I-35 and Johnson Drive in Merriam. Merriam Body Shop is State Farm preferred. They do full collision repair or small jobs like paintless dent removal. My buddy Tyler has a little bit of a fender bender on his truck. I said, you got to go see Justin over at Merriam Body Shop. He said, that's actually pretty convenient to where I work. It's not too far away. I said, go check him out. Awesome. He says their initial contact has been great. I said, Tyler, here's what they do. After they repair your dents or fix your car, your collision, they detail it for you. They bring it back brand new, spit shine, like the showroom floor. Nobody else does that. Corporate body shops don't do that. Merriam Body Shop does. You should be doing business with this great local company. If you've got a few door dings, they're more than happy to take those out with paintless dent removal. Or if you just want to get your car detailed, they do that as well. It's incredible. Some people charge over $1,000. Starts at just $250 at Merriam Body Shop, and that includes a ceramic coating to the exterior paint that is incredible. Give them a call at 913-362-1198 or online at merriambodyshop.com. 360 Document Solutions. Any business in Western Missouri or anywhere in the state of Kansas can benefit from the great services 360 Document Solutions provides. Mark Lindquist and his team are pros. He's been in this industry forever. Whether you're looking for better, smaller, more efficient, cheaper copiers and toner, if you're printing your way out of house and home, get a new deal. They'll get you out of your lease and find you something better that works for you. IT solutions, mailing systems, phone systems, outsourced IT. Mark will come in and do a complimentary analysis of all your doc technology and IT programs. He'll write up a complete review and say, here, it's on you. You want to do this or not? It's up to you. No pressure. They will save you money and make you more efficient, I promise. 360documentsolutions.com, 913-745-5344. And, of course, Mike Robinson and his team at Roberts Robinson Chevrolet Buick GMC in Excelsior Springs. I simply can't say enough about these fine people and the way they run their business. They've got an award-winning service department. They're incredible. They'll come get your car for you and repair it or do the service and bring it back to you. That's all you got to know about their what they think about their customers and the way they serve their customers. There's not great inventory out there on a lot of dealerships right now. They'll help you build your car. You just get online and build it, and in several weeks, it'll be here. If you don't need it right away, if you want a new car in 2 or 3 months, order it up. It's the easy way to do it. You get exactly what you want. They'll help you right online. Shop, click, drive at robertsrobinson.com. With GMC, we are professional grade. Boy, Andy's had a lot of things happen here that you could be critical about, but nothing so much as no comment on John Gruden's emails. Wow, are they going to come after him on this one? On KKHI. Hit it!
Window World, the official windows of the Kansas City Chiefs, presents Kevin Keatsman Has Issues, online at windowskansascity.com.
Well, Andy Reid's made a mess for himself over the John Gruden debacle, and in typical fashion, this is not about deeds, it's not about actions, it's not things that you have done. Andy Reid decided he would take it upon himself to alert the media at the Wednesday gathering that he is not going to speak about John Gruden. That, you know, enough's been said, I don't have any comment there, nothing good can happen of me commenting, and the liberal local media are all over Andy Reid now. Not for other things that have transpired on Andy Reid's watch as the Chiefs coach. No. We don't want to get into those things. No. This has to do with homophobia and racism and wokeism. And Andy, we know you're conservative because you supported a candidate for governor in Kansas that was Republican. We know who you are, and you have to say the liberal talking points at all times. You must do this or we will come after you. So even the Kansas City Star has done this because apparently this is a bigger deal, not commenting about his friend, and they are very close friends, not commenting about John Gruden is a much bigger sin than not talking about what could have been an illegal and against the rules NFL party or drinking event at Arrowhead Stadium that led to his addict son crashing into a car with a five-year-old girl that remains in a bed and on support. That, you know, and we know Andy doesn't comment on that. He's not going to comment on that. He feels for the family and he feels for his son. And that. We're not going to comment on that. The Chiefs aren't going to tell us anything about that. Chiefs aren't going to tell us what happened. They're not going to talk about possible lawsuits or breaking the law or busting NFL rules. No. We're not going to have any of that. That's okay. We'll let that play out. It'll be fine. Whatever. But you declined to talk about John Gruden's trouble? After it appears that he is taking pot shots at pretty much any so-called marginalized person in America? Oh, no, Andy, that is not going to stand. The media is going to be all over Andy Reid on this thing now. He did blow it. I'll give them this. It would have been very easy for Andy to come out and read off of a card, you know, a 100-word statement or something, something very short and sweet, and say, I'm not going to take any questions, because let's be honest, Andy Reid could be implicated in this. I mean, if we really want to be honest about what's going on, we don't know where the next move is by the NFL. Their spokesperson at this point is saying, lawyers came out this week for the cheerleaders, for crying out loud. You know, this is an investigation of the Washington Redskins. They were the Redskins when this was an investigation. Now they're the Washington football team. This is an investigation over their workplace environment. And I've been very outspoken on this podcast that the Redskins at the time were not all that different than here. I worked with someone who was a Chiefs cheerleader and talked about the horrible working conditions of being a cheerleader, the low pay, the absolute meanness of the organization toward these people, the way they treated them as second-class citizens. I have heard this firsthand. I attempted through the years to get this person to come forward and do a public interview and blast the Chiefs and say this is not fair, the way they treat cheerleaders, the work environment for women. There are now women in Kansas City in powerful positions, like mayors, like elected people. There are council people. There are women in powerful positions in business in Kansas City that used to work for the Chiefs that will tell you horror stories of their asses getting grabbed, the culture at Arrowhead Stadium, how women were second-class citizens. It was a good old boys club. It was a sex club. When I first started, there was a special room in the public relations department. There weren't cell phones then. There was a special room where the players could come up to the PR office during a lunch break or whatever, and they had private phone lines where they could call their girlfriends, not their wives. There was plenty of places to do that down by the locker room. If you wanted to have a private conversation or you wanted to do something that was, I don't know, hell, they came up and they met employees in the front office and would flirt with them and grab ass with them. I saw it. The reporters were around. People laughed. It's a long time ago, but this is what you don't fix all this stuff overnight. So the NFL's got all these lawyers representing cheerleaders now, saying it was outrageous in 2013 that the Redskins cheerleaders went to Costa Rica and were asked to take their tops off for pictures. They put body paint on them. Pictures leaked of them getting painted. John Gruden, in his emails, was sharing photos of topless cheerleaders of the Redskins with an executive. Ha ha, this is funny. You don't think he sent those pictures to Andy Reid? I'm just going to ask you, if John Gruden sent topless pictures of cheerleaders from the Redskins, do you think he sent those to Andy Reid? Because I'll tell you what my answer is. Hell yes, he did. And he said those words, and he said those things in emails, and he has said them on the phone with Andy Reid. And I don't know if they would today, but back in the day, Andy would just be on the phone with him laughing. Oh, that's Gruden being Gruden. I'm not saying Andy uses those words, and I'm not saying Andy does it back, but he's friends with Gruden and he hears it and he laughs it off because that's the good old boys culture of the NFL. So was Andy Reid told by the organization? Was he told by a friend that's a lawyer? Did he just think in his own mind, you know what? I'm not commenting on any of this stuff because I know what my past is in this league. I know what my emails look like. I know what I've heard Gruden say. I know what I've heard 50 people in the NFL say. I know what I've said. If he's being honest, whether Andy's the great and almighty, awesome, incredible person that everybody says he is or not, I tend to believe that he's not. I don't think he's a bad person. I'm not saying that. I just don't ever believe in this idolization of people in big, powerful roles, that they're this perfect and they're above the fray and they never harmed anybody. They never did anything to anyone. No, I've never believed that with Andy Reid. I think you pull the curtain down, you're going to find all kinds of things about Andy Reid you don't like. Because a lot of really bad shit has happened around the guy. A lot of really bad stuff has happened. Because he allows it. He condones it. Let's be honest, he condones it. Are you condoning having an Uzi in the backseat of your car if you allow the man to stay on your team? Frank Clark? Yes, of course you are. You're condoning it. You're condoning the behavior. You absolutely are. He condoned the behavior of his sons when they were addicts. It was happening in his house. The drug dealing, the drug lab was in his house in Philadelphia. The boys were working out of the home. Does he condone it? Of course. Andy Reid's got, folks, you got to trust me on this. He's been around the league for so long and he's at such an age. There is so much baggage there and so much stuff. If you got into a bunch of emails, if they had 650,000 emails of the Kansas City Chiefs and they were released publicly, you'd be mortified. You wouldn't believe it. You absolutely wouldn't believe it. And maybe that's not unique. It's probably most NFL teams. I think the Chiefs have had more problems with criminals than most teams. But we get into an area now where it's homophobia. Oh, he talked about the size of the lips of the guy at the NFLPA, and he shared a topless photo of a cheerleader. Well, that's a lot worse than this other stuff, right? I don't get it, man. I don't get any of this stuff. The media is going to be all over Andy Reid now. Vahe Gregorian, who's a tremendous feature writer and a really sweet and nice man, has already penned a piece with the Kansas City Star that Andy Reid has blown it, that he had a chance to step forward. This is what I said about the Britt Reid thing. He had a chance to step forward and educate people that what John Gruden is doing is wrong. It's a very simple thing to do. All you got to do is repeat what the left wants you to say. I'll give you an example. Chargers coach Brandon Staley was very eloquent on the topic when asked about it. And he gave all the liberal left talking points. He covered. He touched every base in this response. I'm going to play it for you. He touched every base. Andy Reid wouldn't go there. Now, maybe we support Andy Reid because he's conservative and say, listen, he didn't want to spew and repeat these silly liberal talking points about all this stuff that we're all kumbaya and we're all one people and we're all togetherness and inclusion. Maybe he didn't want to do all that. Maybe it's because he's conservative. Boy, if the media in this town think Andy Reid's holding back from saying that stuff because he's conservative, he's going to get shredded by the media in this town. There's a line you cross, and it ain't five-year-old little girls laying in the hospital or in a hospital bed at their house. That's not it. It's not that you fired all your coaches and kept your son. It's not your addict son getting drunk at work. No. No, the line you don't cross is when this comes out on Gruden, you pile on him even if he's your friend. And that's where the Vahe's issue is that Andy's loyal, and he's got friends, and this is too loyal, and he shouldn't be friends with this guy. Vahe has made a judgment that Andy Reid should not be friends with John Gruden. And what's the next column? The next column is going to come along and write a piece that say, guilt by association. If you won't say bad things about John Gruden and disavow him as a friend, then you agree with him. That's the conclusion they're going to draw. No, Andy blew it. He should have said something. He should have read a prepared statement and said, I'm not taking questions. Here's what I think. This is awful. You know, I've not known John Gruden to be that guy, but this doesn't lie. That's an ugly side. It's terrible. You know, nobody should be marginalized or talked poorly about. Just write a short little statement and be done with it. But Andy wouldn't even do that. And now they're all over Andy Reid for it because he didn't do what Brandon Staley did. And maybe Brandon Staley is a liberal. Maybe he's conservative. I don't really know what he is. I know this. He's got a hell of a football team. They're on a roll, and he ain't rocking his boat. If it means he's, when you hear this, Brandon Staley is talking to his players. All right, this is a question from the media about John Gruden and Brandon Staley. When you listen to this, okay, this is his public statement for everybody to consume, but he's coaching his players right here. He's talking to his players, and he did something Andy Reid was not willing to do. Roll it.
You know, I think that respect and trust in this world are really, really difficult to achieve. And I think about all the people that were affected by those emails, whether you're a person of color, whether you're a person, you know, gender, sexual orientation, the people that were affected by those emails, that's who I'm thinking about, you know, because it's a sacred mantle for someone to call you coach or someone to call you a leader. And trust is really, really hard to achieve in this world. It's really, really challenging to achieve. And especially with people with those groups that I just mentioned, all right? And people are really guarded, all right? And they're skeptical of people because of emails like that. And I just think that, you know, kindness and lifting people up and respecting people you don't know, I just think that, you know, that's such a big part of our thing here is listening to people and learning about people, because I think what you'll discover is that we have so much more in common than not. And I think that, you know, for someone like me, you know, it's just incumbent upon you to set the example every single day so that people that were, you know, talked about in those emails, that they don't need to feel that way. They shouldn't feel that way. And it's, you know, hopefully, you know, all of us can learn from this, that it's about bringing people together for me so that people can become, you know, the people that they dream about. And I think that, you know, for me, this football team and being someone, hopefully we can, you know, be a light for those people in those emails, that not everybody's like that, that there's far more people that will love you than the opposite. And hopefully this will be a chance for everybody to come together instead of go apart.
All right. There's Brandon Staley, the head coach of the Los Angeles Chargers. And it was eloquent. It was well said. I think most people would agree with what he says. Not saying anything controversial there. But it's ridiculous because you're going to get asked about it. You're, you know, there should be some training on this of wokeness or how you're going to respond to a question regarding something like this. It is unbelievable how this is a bigger deal than actual things that happen in the NFL. You know, sexual misconduct, arrests. It was pointed out that the Tampa Bay Buccaneers have taken John Gruden off their Ring of Honor, but Warren Sapp stays, who was slapped with two felonies and pled down to lesser charges after these felonies. He just pled down. He committed felonies. He committed two felonies, and he pled down to lesser charges. He still stays there. There's at least two players on the Tampa Bay team that have been convicted of serious crimes playing currently for them. Oh, but we're going to disavow John Gruden and take his name down off the Ring of Honor. I mean, this stuff is just outrageous. The way they overreact because of words. The word police are out. Radio hosts are on Andy Reid. Podcasters are on him. I'm on him, but I'm on him for a different reason. I just think he made a mistake. I'm not in any way surprised that Andy Reid isn't going to talk about this. And I've never said this now. It's been 2 years and I've never said this. I'm just going to say it because this is my personal experience. This BS of Andy Reid is this caring guy and, you know, he's open and he's loyal and he's nice and he wants to, you know, it's like liberals say this about, oh, we want to help everybody. We want to, but they don't. They don't want to help conservatives. No, you're with Andy or you're against Andy. That's it, period. It's Fort Knox out there. They got walls built everywhere. and you're with him or you're not. And I experienced that. And I still cannot to this day, I have no answer from anyone in the organization why when I made the comments that Andy Reid fired all of his coaches except his son, who is an addict, and you know all of these chances he was taking with players in peril, players in trouble, and the way they continue to do it. We were talking about that I said, this is what the man does. This is kind of who he and what he is. That this gets misinterpreted somehow that I said he killed his other kid or caused him to die or whatever after his son overdosed at Eagles camp as an assistant to the Eagles. How that got twisted and misconstrued that way to this day is confounding to me. But why, after I had a year's relationship with Andy Reid, been to his news conferences, had him on my show many times, why I never, ever got the courtesy of a two-minute phone call to apologize, because I still, to this day, apologize if that's what he interpreted out of my comments. Not mean to offend him or in any way say that he killed his kid. It's not my comment. It's not what I wanted him to hear. It's not what I was saying. And if it got misconstrued and that hurt him, I personally wanted to be what they say Andy Reid is. And I told the Chiefs that. I said, I want to personally apologize to the man if he thinks I said something about his son that I don't believe I said. I want to explain that to him and apologize to him. Not for what I said, but for what it caused him, if it caused him pain. To this day, nothing. They never allowed, not one phone call. Andy Reid doesn't give two pieces of garbage about anybody in the media keeping their job. Any story you read about this big heart that he has and how nice he is to people is complete hogwash. There's plenty of former players that can't stand the guy. That's out there. All right? That's just the real world. I'm not even saying it's unfair. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying don't believe what they tell you. Well, this could be his Waterloo. I mean, this could be a real problem for Andy Reid, because if the libs turn on him because he won't badmouth John Gruden, they're coming after him. They will go after the Britt Reid story now. They'll go after everything in his past if he does not comply. And I think he's going to be forced to comment about John Gruden. I don't think this will stand. I think he's going to be forced to comment and disavow the comments and in some small way make it sound like, I just can't believe that this man is my friend. I'm so hurt by this. If he doesn't put the show on, they're coming for him. And the crazy part is what Gruden tapped into with his emails, it's an extremely conservative league. The people in football are conservative. The people who run it, the owners, by and large, are conservative. And Goodell has been wanting to move this thing more and more left and allow players to kneel and have concessions with the players' union, allow them to do these things. And that's kind of what Gruden was pointing out, is that we're getting soft here. We're moving left. We're getting away from the great game that we love. The way he said it was wrong. Everybody knows that. But his larger point in the emails was, we're moving this league left, and this is a bad idea. This is a bad idea to soften football and to soften this culture. It's a bad idea. That's what his point was. You can debate that point. He may be wrong. In some ways, he may be right. I got plenty of buddies that agree with what he said about Goodell. They may not agree with the words, but they love what he said about Roger Goodell. They agree with it. Between the concussions and the kneeling and all the new rules changes and you can't touch a quarterback. I got all kinds of friends that are like, oh my God, this is crazy how they're softening this league. There's plenty of football fans that believe the spirit of what Gruden was saying in criticism of Roger Goodell. Andy Reid may be one of them. But Andy can't stay silent on this. He can't. I just wonder if there's some exposure here. If there's emails from Gruden, if there's topless photos that he sent him, if there's phone calls, if there's text messages. The NFL has put a statement out and said, yeah, we see the attorney for the cheerleaders is outraged that we've been investigating for 10 months the Washington football team and still have given out no indication of what they found other than chopping off John Gruden's neck. This after a 2013 trip to Costa Rica where they were asked to pose topless. Gruden clearly got photos of the girls topless because he shared them, or somebody shared them from the Redskins to him. The NFL put a statement out on Wednesday, says we have released no emails and do not plan to release any emails. Really? Who released the emails if it wasn't the NFL? Who released the Gruden emails if it wasn't somebody from the NFL? You think somebody from the Washington football team did this? You think this was some random person that worked there several years ago and doesn't work there anymore and called the Wall Street Journal? They're all in New York. The NFL's in New York. The New York Times is in New York. The Wall Street Journal's in New York. It's all right there. Of course this was the NFL. Of course the NFL leaked these emails. And the chorus now really needs to be a ringing chorus of, well, you can't do this to one person without doing to them all. Let's see it all. Let's see how bad it was with the Redskins. But see, they won't, because they'll open themselves to lawsuits. This is an easy one. They found an easy target for the left to have a punching bag in John Gruden. The NFL is not culpable in any of this in any way. But if they start releasing emails that show misconduct, including NFL officials, which, by the way, that'll be there too. If you don't think that will be there, it will be there. There will be emails from the National Football League office that are not appropriate. Those will exist too, but they're a private organization. They're not releasing any of this stuff. You're never going to know. Gruden's going to be the front and center hammer on this thing. There's going to be another big fine in Washington. They're hoping Daniel Snyder will sell his football team. Maybe they will blackmail him if they find stuff and they send it to, and they say, look, here's what we got on you, Snyder. We're going to release this publicly or you sell your team. And they want him to sell the team. And that's what they want to have happen. They want Daniel Snyder to sell his football team. And that will be the end result for the Washington football team. But this is crazy. The NFL saying they released nothing and they don't plan to. That's good news for Andy Reid. It's good news for all of John Gruden's friends, because if you think all of a sudden this Bruce Allen guy or whatever was somehow closer to John Gruden than these other people that he used to coach with, that's crazy. That's crazy talk. He's closer to Andy Reid. Of course he is. Of course he is. And Andy Reid received the same emails. Andy Reid received the same stuff. And he never came forward. He never said anything. And he never told Gruden, hey, pipe it down. None of that. The question is, how did Andy respond to those emails? What did Andy say in phone conversations? Has Andy laughed about this stuff through the years? Serious question. Very serious question. And Andy doesn't want to talk about it. He is not going to talk about it. Actually, I guess it, in some way he has said more about his son getting drunk and plowing into that car with that little girl than he has this. He's scared of this. Britt Reid getting drunk at work, almost killing a girl, isn't going to get him fired. For whatever reason, it's not going to get him fired. And I've said this before. If Andy Reid is in any way responsible for drinking at work that caused that accident, he should be fired. He should. That is worse than John Gruden's words. I want to be very clear. An action as a leader where you encourage or condone an addict employee to drink at work, drive away drunk, smash into a car, and send a five-year-old girl into a coma is much worse for a head coach than calling somebody a queer. I'm sorry, it is. Or even making fun of somebody's appearance. It's way worse. And we just don't treat things like that in our society. We don't. And somehow, some way, nobody seems to care about this one. Andy can just be Andy and do what he wants to do. That's okay. But, uh-oh, boy, the speech police come after you, the thought police. Look out. And they've already started. Vi Gregorian, of all people, is up in Andy's grill because he didn't comment on this thing. Wow. These people are funny, man. These people on the left are funny. What they think is serious and important versus what really is it's comical. It is comical that this is so much bigger. Commenting on John Gruden is so much bigger than, gee, I wonder if they allowed drinking for an addict coach at work to almost kill a girl. And if you allowed that and you're the person in charge, should you keep your job? Nobody asked that question. No. Oh, but Andy, if you condone John Gruden's behavior and he sent you these emails and you never told him to stop, now you should be fired, allowing someone to make fun of someone that's marginalized. You can't say bad things about people. Speech police, baby. There's a GoFundMe page out there that a Chiefs fan has started to raise about $2.5 million to buy out Daniel Sorensen. I'm not going to give the GoFundMe page out or the name because I think this is silly and frivolous. If the Chiefs wanted to get rid of Daniel Sorensen, they'd eat the salary. But the fan is so upset with Daniel Sorensen's play, they started a GoFundMe page. Do not contribute to that. Do not. There are so many worthy causes. Do not contribute to that. This is a guy probably trying to make a buck. saying he's going to raise money on the GoFundMe page to buy out Daniel Sorensen so the Chiefs will play Juan Thornhill more. Fans are funny. Kyrie Irving of the Brooklyn Nets has broken his silence on not taking the vaccine and said, quote, it's about freedom, unquote. I'm not anti-vax. Anybody can take the vax. The vax may be fine for you. It is not fine for me. I don't need it. I'm healthy. These people who try to tell us how we're going to live is not good. He was raised to love his freedom and fight for his freedom at all costs. And Kyrie Irving is doing just that. Here's the crazy thing about the NFL in New York. Kyrie Irving can only play road games with the Nets. And they've said, well, we're not going to allow you to do that. So you're not a full-time player. You're basically inactive. It's going to cost him $18 million of his $35, $36 million salary, apparently. But get this. Every night the Nets play in Brooklyn, the visiting teams can bring in as many unvaccinated players as they want, and they can play because it's only one game. So if you play for the Cleveland Cavaliers and you fly to New York and you go play to the Nets and you're unvaccinated, you're fine. You can play there. But Kyrie Irving can't because he's a home player. You can't figure out any of these mandates. There's no figuring any of this silliness out. This is childish behavior. This is junior high stuff that they come up with. Kyrie Irving can't play for the home team, but visiting teams can bring in a player that's unvaccinated because it's only one game. What? You can't make this up. They need to drop the... I hope Kyrie Irving stays on this, and I hope he makes change in New York. I hope people revolt on this thing. I hope the Nets lose some games. They say, we need Kyrie Irving to play. And fans start getting mad. We got to get on these people. I have more on mandates in the second part of the podcast because they're already starting to fall apart. I don't know how these things can be enforced. They're not laws. They're not laws. Congress didn't pass these laws. They're not laws. They're mandates. I don't know how you can enforce them. Honestly, I don't. I don't know how we can't rush some of these things to the Supreme Court and get some rulings for some common sense in this country that applies from the Constitution to today's life. I applaud Kyrie Irving. I also applaud Joe Montana. And if I were to tell you that I were close to Joe Montana, that would not be factual. It was very difficult to get close to Joe Montana when he was in Kansas City. But there was nobody in the media that was around him more and knew him better. Like, when the Chiefs were getting ready to work out the deal for him, I was up in the Channel 4 helicopter. We were flying around following his limousine after he got to the airport, like live on TV. Joe Montana's here. He's in the limo. He's headed to Arrowhead. We land the helicopter. I go cover the team. I covered the team on a daily basis. I was around Joe Montana all the time. I may have asked more questions of Joe Montana than anybody else in the media in the time here. That's possible. I was around him. He was nice. He was shy. He knew he had to do media, but didn't like doing media. The couple times I was around him socially were at training camp. He would go to a place called Bows and Mine in River Falls once or twice a camp. He would go down there at 9 o'clock. Marty'd give him an hour and a half off. They'd get 90 minutes, 9 to 10:30. They'd ride their bicycles down there. Joe Montana would put a ball cap on, jeans and a t-shirt, and be the most inconspicuous River Falls looking dude you ever saw at the bar with his back basically turned to everyone. Word would get out very quickly, even though there wasn't social media. The Joe Montana was at Bows and Mine or wherever it was. He would take his entire offensive line down there, which in camp was a lot. It's a lot of guys. And he'd open a tab and just buy all their drinks and sit there very calmly. And people would walk up and say hello. There weren't selfies and cell phones on the cameras and stuff like that then. But he was nice. He did not like the attention. He was a very shy superstar. But Joe Montana was great. And he brought a leadership and a style and a class to the Chiefs that we hadn't seen before. A short period of time in Kansas City, he met people in business. He invested in a Ford dealership, I believe. He definitely invested in a beer distributor. He invested in a lot of things. Joe Montana likes to invest. He took his money and he invested it. Joe Montana, for 15 years, has had a rough history of investments. He's gone into some new companies, lives in Northern California. He's met a lot of people in Silicon Valley. He's given $100,000 here, $200,000 there, and all these startups that have failed. There was a $9 million loss about 8 years ago. He's had a lot of losses. These are risky investments. Joe Montana can afford it. He has the money. These are investments. This is not, hey, I'm going to open a sports bar and let everybody drink free. All right, I trust these people. I know these people. I'm going to try. You can't count how many investments Joe Montana's had that have failed. but he's also invested in very solid businesses. Like, I think he still maybe has a piece of the beer distributorship here. Well, those are good, solid, conservative investments that aren't going to go sour. He's done a lot of that too. In 2015, Joe Montana invested in a company called GitLab in Northern California. They were looking for 15 people to give $100,000 each. They were raising $1.5 million. And Joe could have done the whole $1.5 million, I guess. He gave $100,000. The actor Ashton Kutcher invested $100,000. Several other people did. They raised their $1.5 million. Not much money, right? They raised $1.5 million in 2015. And today, GitLab goes public. The IPO is being offered. They're valuing the company at over $10 billion. Joe Montana's $100,000 investment, 6 years later, will get him instantly $42 million. Good for Joe Montana. Seriously, good for Joe Montana. Investing's hard. You always hear these good stories. You don't hear a lot about how, you know, there was a $9 million loss. I don't think it was personally his $9 million, but it was a $9 million startup, and it all lost money. Whatever he invested in that, he lost every nickel of it. You know, you never hear about those. You always hear about the winners. But Joe Montana's got a winner on his hand, $42 million. The second a company called GitLab goes public, and I guess the same is for Ashton Kutcher. He's going to pocket $42 million more as well. Good stuff there. KKHI is brought to you by Amazing Garage Floors. You can invest in your garage floor or your driveway. Seal it with SEAL-XP before winter gets here. And that salt and sand the city throws on it when it snows and stuff will not affect your driveway. It's not going to crack, chip, or peel. Your driveway is protected like a coat of armor with SEAL-XP. Call Amazing Garage Floors at 901-7139. Online at AmazingGarageFloors.net. BStock.net. This is the best deal they've got going. BStock's got the TU-7000, the Samsung TV. This is an unbelievable TV. It's a 4K smart TV. It retails over $700 at Best Buy and Nebraska Furniture Mart. This is a 70-incher, guys, for football season. Brand new, in the box, $499. Go get one at BStock today. They're in Olathe, 14680 South Flaming Road. They also have a great new shipment of Apple products, iPads, and Apple TVs. It's all at BStock.net. Online, ship it anywhere. We're in Olathe, 14680 South Flaming Road. Back 9 Development, a custom home builder. They also do commercial developments, room additions, condominium projects like the Solheim at Grandmere with a pool, workout facility, and covered parking. It's the Solheim at Grandmere. Nothing like it anywhere in the Midwest. Great spot in the Flint Hills of Kansas on the award-winning Colbert Hills Golf Course. Great for hunting, fishing retreat, sports. Maybe your kid wants to go to college there. Or just have a golf place or an investment property. Back9development.com. And Buck Roofing and Construction online at rbuckroofing.com. Ron's team will climb up on your roof and inspect it for free. Many times, they fix a couple of shingles or some flashing, and they don't charge you, and they drive away and say, you got at least 5 years left on your roof, but call us in 5 years. Who does that? Buck Roofing does that. 913-384-2680. You will sleep well knowing Buck Roofing fixed the roof over your head. I don't want to spend much time on this because we saw in August the killer of Ashley Babbitt, Michael Byrd, the Capitol police officer that killed her in cold blood at the Capitol on January 6th. We saw he told his story and was been identified. Well, they've interviewed all the people around the murder of Ashley Babbitt. 500 pages of documents have been released by the Washington, D.C. Police Department. And they came up with this conclusion. There's not much to add here. We knew this. This is the theme here the next few minutes is going to be fake news and the news media and the way they bury things. This story got buried from January 6th until the end of October, and now we have the final findings from the Washington, D.C. Police Department, 500 pages of documents released, and they find, quote, no good reason, unquote, Ashley Babbitt was shot by Michael Byrd. That's their conclusion. If there is no good reason, should we not be arresting Michael Byrd? This stuff just gets swept because it's a, you know the dynamics of the thing. You know what it is. It's just so what the hell has happened to our country? That murder, that killing someone can't even be fair. We're going to base it on your political affiliation and the color of your skin. That's what we're going to base it on. Of course she was trespassing. I'm all for a trial. Let's have a trial. Is it manslaughter? Did he panic? This is a man who left his gun loaded without the lock on in a bathroom at the Capitol one time and did not get punished for it. No punishment. This was not a good police officer. And he freaked out and panicked. And, you know, maybe that's not manslaughter. Maybe it's not murder. Maybe it's not any of those things. But maybe this person should never be allowed to have a firearm. Maybe this person should lose his job. Maybe a lot of things here. But nope, we're not going to do that. Not going to do that. Not even being a woman mattered. The fact that she's 5'2" and 120 pounds. That didn't matter either. We are messed up, man. So messed up that CNN is under fire now for an employee going on Joe Rogan's podcast. Dr. Sanjay Gupta is the chief medical director at CNN, and they lied on CNN, just flat out lied about Joe Rogan and his COVID treatment. Joe Rogan went to a doctor. He was prescribed ivermectin. Ivermectin won a Nobel Prize in 2015. It's been around forever. Billions of doses have been given out to human beings of ivermectin. CNN went on, made fun of Joe Rogan, and said, Joe Rogan is crazy, and he's taking veterinary medicine. This is for horses and all this other stuff. Well, Rogan got Sanjay Gupta on his podcast. I have no idea why Sanjay Gupta went on there, but he confronted him and said, why do you condone your network lying? Why do you lie? Why do you misreport things on purpose for your own causes? Why do you lie? And you did this to me. Why? And he said, well, I don't know that it's a lie. And then Rogan reads the transcript of what was said. And he said, your network reported that I took horse medicine for COVID-19. And I didn't. I went to the doctor. And then he held up a sample. He goes, I got ivermectin right here. I went to the doctor. This is what he gave me. And it's been used. There's been billions of doses around the world. And you know this because you're a doctor. You're a medical professional, right? And Gupta says, yeah, I know this. And he says, why do you think CNN lies? Why do they do it? And Gupta finally says they shouldn't have said that. Even Gupta admits that CNN should not have done to him what they did. And this is happening everywhere. I don't know why anybody believes any liberal media ever. And that's what COVID's turned into. It's liberal media controlling America with mandates, with vaccines, with all this stuff. They're controlling everything because they control the message with big tech, with corporate media, with all these entities. Every single time that you as a conservative question what you're hearing and say, well, this doesn't sound right. I don't think Joe Rogan went and took horse pills. That doesn't sound right. You question it, but of course, this has now been weeks ago, so it's not on the front burner anymore. They got their point out that you're crazy. You're a crazy Republican if you take ivermectin. Don't do that. Fauci doesn't want you to get well. Do you not understand? They do not want therapeutics. They don't want these things to work. If they work, nobody's scared of COVID. We have the tape from several years ago where Fauci said, and his people at this symposium said, well, the flu vaccine's no good because people aren't afraid of the flu. Yes, the flu's dangerous. Yes, people die from the flu, but the American public's not afraid of the flu. They're not afraid of the flu. We're not going to get enough people vaccinated on the flu. They push vaccines. They work for pharmaceutical companies. They're all getting rich. They just want more and more and more medicine. Take this, take that, get this shot, do this. They just want to push this stuff on you. That's their game. That's their business. And they were exposed talking about the flu. And somebody said, well, maybe someday something comes from China where people get really scared. And then we have it. And yes, we have it. And people are really scared. Not a third of us. A third of us aren't scared at all. A third of us keep living the way we were built to live in this country, the way our founding fathers wanted us to live in this country. And that is, we came here questioning the man. Yes, we were colonialists, of course. And we did a lot of bad things that were wrong. Okay, whatever. We came here because we didn't like the King of England, essentially. We didn't like monarchies. We didn't like tyranny. We didn't like taxation without representation. All these things. That's what's built in our DNA. And we're just losing it every single day. And so you have the Gupta story. And it happens on the same day that Katie Couric from NBC News admits that she interviewed Ruth Bader Ginsburg in 2016. And they released the interview and they put the interview out. But there was a whole section of the interview where she's asking about Colin Kaepernick and kneeling for the anthem and athletes disrespecting the flag and all this. And Ruth Bader Ginsburg sounded like me. She just let Kaepernick have it. Like, this is terrible. This country allowed the country, the Supreme Court, the politicians, the government, whatever, allowed his parents and grandparents to have the opportunity to flourish, to put him in the position he is. She said so many conservative things about America. Katie Couric cut it all and dropped it on the floor. Never aired any of it. RBG, it was not down with the revolution with Colin Kaepernick. She's not down with Fidel Castro t-shirts. She's not down with communism. Boy, that would have broken their hearts on the left. This is right. This was when the revolution started, man. We're right on. This is after the last 5 years of Obama. It was really on. You guys remember? This all happened and started under Obama. That's where it all started. Trump came in, slowed it for a while, and now we're just, it's an all-out free-for-all. But the media can't be trusted in any of this stuff. None of it's fair. It's a rigged game. And, you know, we learn all this stuff. You know, Fauci has come out and said, well, yeah, you know, he said one mask to protect us. He didn't want us buying too many masks so they wouldn't be on the shelves. He really meant two masks. And then he said, well, I really meant three masks is better if you wear three masks, but I was doing this to protect you. I had to protect you. I had to tell you one mask. I had to tell you that because I didn't think there were enough masks for everybody. We were going to have a shortage. I couldn't cause a shortage. No, BS. Stop lying to us. Just tell the truth. Fauci doesn't have it in him. Liberals don't have it in them. They don't like the truth. The truth is Americans don't like what they say. That's the truth. They don't like any of it. And it just keeps happening over and over and over. So the rubber's going to meet the road here in December. We're about a little over a month away on this. Gary Kelly is the CEO of Southwest Airlines. And he has come out now and said, wait a second, we're getting bad publicity everywhere. They hate the publicity they're getting. Certainly the canceled flight sucked, and the pilots clearly did something and said, we're not working and we're causing all these cancellations. Gary Kelly has now put a statement out, says, we're not in favor of this mandate. We are going to try to comply as best we can. And then he said, very bluntly, we are not firing anyone over not getting the vaccine. I applaud them. American Airlines, which is also based in Texas, did not say that. American's very liberal. Southwest is not. It's not a liberal company. The governor of Texas has said, you don't have to do any of this. We've put legislation out in Texas. Here's my mandate. No employer can do this. Greg Abbott is saying you can't do it, that it's illegal in the state of Texas, that you cannot enforce some sort of a vaccine mandate. Well, of course, they're going to side with the president and say, we better follow the federal law before the Texas law. So Southwest sort of is, but we'll see if some of these companies file lawsuits and challenge this thing by Biden. Southwest Airlines cannot afford to lose a third of their pilots. They can't. And now they may be really in trouble in them walking off the job because he's promised, I'm not firing you. Great, just go take a few months off until the mandate's gone. Those pilots are all in a position to take a couple months off. Be a nice little respite, wouldn't it? And we had a beautiful thing happen in Nevada. Really beautiful. Clark County School Commission. Oh, and thank you for all of you that keep sending in school board positions that are coming up on the ballot November 2nd. Keep sending them to me. Let me know, no matter where you are, who to vote for in these school boards, because there's no R or D next to their name, Republican or Democrat, in these cases. So we're just trying to identify people to get some name familiarity. And before the election, I'm going to give a cheat sheet out for people on some of these positions. If you know some school board positions of people that are running that are conservative, email them to me, kevin@kkhasissues.com. Let me know who they are, and we'll work on these school board positions. There was a couple of mayoral races that we'll talk about, Mike Sinegy and some people like that, but we're not going to get into every city council, every politician. We're not going to do hundreds of names. A lot of those are Republican versus Democrat, and you're going to be able to go to the poll and see that. I guess the recommendation, a lot of people have asked, what if you get there and you don't know? And my answer is, if you don't know, don't vote on those. Just skip those and move on. If you don't know and they don't say, I mean, if it's, especially if it's school board, and there's like eight names there for three or four positions, don't, because chances are six of the eight are liberals. Don't. Just skip. Let the people who know vote. But keep sending them to me, because we got a lot of people out there that are pissed off and want to go to their school boards and get them changed. It's so funny to watch the videos of these creepy people that are on these boards. Clark County, Nevada is awful. I mean, you look up there, My instinct is, this is mean, because I don't want to be mean. I really don't want to be mean. But my instinct is, what a bunch of losers. I mean, I'm looking at them. They're slouched over. They got their masks on. Oh, my God. They look tired and scared. And, oh, you know the person. Life is so unfair. Everybody's so oppressed. We got to help people. You know these types? Boy, the school boards are loaded with these goons. They really are. It's pretty funny. Dude walks up to the podium, Clark County school board meeting. Big, tall, strapping, athletic dude. Looks like he's maybe 38 years old. He's reading from a script. He's got it. He's got his 2 minutes at the podium. Says, security, could you please come over here? I have something to hand to the members of the board. These are just papers. You can look them over. Could you please hand these to each member of the board, please? We are serving you with a $200 million lawsuit. You are not health experts. You have no right to make health decisions for our children. This is not a negotiation. We will see you in court. It was awesome. He was basically saying, I'm handing you this. I'm not telling you to change the rules or asking you to change the rules because I know you won't. We'll see you in court. This is not a negotiation. He went on to say, we're going to file lawsuit after lawsuit after lawsuit until one of them wins and hits and changes this. You cannot do this to our children. What you're doing to our children, you cannot do. You can't do it. You're not health experts. Awesome stuff. Let's do it. Let's load up the courts with cases. And I don't know why we can't get to the Supreme Court whether or not it is legal for some of this stuff to be going on. I have no idea how this is legal. I have no idea. I have no idea how the government could force you to take a shot or lose your job. That's just unbelievable to me. Absolutely unbelievable. People are fighting back and they're fighting mad. And I never, ever, ever want to wish away my life. I certainly don't want to wish away a day, let alone my life. But I honestly can't wait until next November. I'm going to be so excited a year from now. We're going to see some polling that's going to blow you away. We're going to get the House and the Senate. Biden's going to be a lame duck. And we're going to be on our way. And that's a very, very important thing. We look forward to that day. Also look forward to the day that many of you will be a big part of this and somehow take a role, whether it's in your community with the council, whether it's just spreading the word with people, getting active with your neighbors, encouraging someone to go vote, letting them know who to vote for. It doesn't take much. You can do this very easily. I've said it. Can you imagine the impact we'd have if everybody just found 10 people to go vote that think the way you think? Just find 10 people that haven't been very active. Sometimes they're spouses of somebody that is, and they go, well, I don't really care that much. Hey, it's time to care. It's time to care. Explain why. Every little bit helps. Every little bit helps. And I can't thank you enough for listening to Kevin Keatsman Has Issues.
Thanks for listening to Kevin Keatsman Has Issues, presented by Roberts Robinson Chevrolet Buick GMC. To get exclusive patrons-only podcasts, receive a weekly newsletter, and attend in-person patrons-only parties, visit kkhasissues.com and become a patron today. This has been a production of Crooked Tail Media Incorporated.